He wants to give him some last words of encouragement, advice, and warning. And chapter one is encouragement. Chapter one is a challenge to courageous enthusiasm. We studied that in verses 1-8. And then he talked about the call to shameless suffering. There's going to be trials, opposition, persecution. Suffer as a Christian, suffer for righteousness' sake. And then in the last part of this chapter, verses 13-18, he's going to be challenging Timothy to spiritual loyalty, specifically loyal to the Word of God, loyal to the message of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. We have our Bibles open to 2 Timothy chapter 1. If you're able to stand with us once again, I'd like to stand as we read God's Word. Starting in verse 13, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13-18. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he hath oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Father in heaven, again, we commit this time to you, and trust that you will give help and strength to myself as I share the truth of the Word of God and expound on the scriptures that have been presented before us today. May our hearts and minds and ears be open to hear exactly what the Spirit of God would have us to hear. And Lord, we just pray that the message would be your message given to me, that we might speak the truth in faith and love, as Paul encouraged Timothy to do the same. Thank you for the faithfulness of God's people. Thank you, Lord, for the loyalty to the Word of God that this church has upheld for over 50 years. Thank you so much for the people who respect and admire and treasure the Word of God as the Holy Word. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we can open the Word and in fellowship share it one with another. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I remind you once again that the theme of the epistle of Timothy, second epistle to Timothy, has to do with grace. And in times of weakness, we need strength. And so the theme of the second epistle to Timothy is grace in strength. Be strong in grace. And the emphasis is on faithfulness in the face of hardship. There's going to be trials. As Brother Bill pointed out in Sunday school this morning, all of us have trials. We face difficulties. It would be nice, you know, God, he mentioned that God could let us be floating along toward heaven on a cloud of air and not have a trouble in the world. But that's not what God has chosen for us, is it? God has chosen us to live, as they say, where the rubber meets the road, in a real world that has real people. And we're all sinners. I trust that each one of you who are here today are sinners saved by grace. And if not, you're in the right place. This is a place where you can hear truth, and faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And so we need to be faithful to God. And part of being faithful to God in this hour of trial, in this closing hours of time before the Lord Jesus Christ returns for his church, is to be loyal to the sharing, the teaching, the preaching, the admonishing, the rebuking, all of those things that have to do with passing the Word of God on to the next generation, to those who come behind us. May they find us faithful and learn by example of our faithfulness. And so here we have Paul's pastoral appeal to Timothy to spiritual loyalty in verses 13 through 18. Another way we could say this, and this is a challenge to all of us, especially looking over the congregation and realizing the age of the majority of our congregation. The same admonition I've shared with you, the same admonition that John Miller, a dear friend of mine with Churches and Missions, John and I go way back. We ministered together down in Martinsburg, West Virginia, when we were teaching at Martinsburg Christian Academy, and John was the music director and one of the coaches at the school and so forth. And John Miller and I get together every once in a while for lunch or coffee and just fellowship and pray with each other, pray for one another. But every single time John Miller and I get together, I know what he's going to say when he's getting in his car to leave. He'll look me in the eye and he'll say, "Brother Gentry, finish well. Finish well." And that's what Paul's telling Timothy. Finish well. Timothy's just a young man. But like Paul, he realizes his life has gone by like a flash of lightning. Paul's now in prison, in a dungeon, awaiting death. He knows that any day now they're going to pull him out of that hole in the ground and they're going to execute him. He knows that. But with joy, he says, "I have finished the course. I have run the race. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." What a joy to know that the coffin is not the end of the road. Amen. Amen. It's just the door through which we enter eternity. And so Paul is telling Timothy, "Dear brother, finish well. Finish well." The Bible and history are replete with men and women throughout the centuries who remained steadfast in the face of adversity. They remained loyal to their master, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the very end. But the Bible also tells us, unfortunately, about others who failed to be loyal, or we could say faithful, to the very end. People who failed to finish well. People who buckled under the afflictions of the gospel that Paul talks about here in verse 8. We talked about there in verse 8. Trials and temptations came to many who compromised, and it took a heavy toll on the church down through the ages. So unless believers are fully committed to love the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word and His work on earth, they are not going to be able to finish well. There are several synonyms that came to my mind as I was working on this message of loyalty. Loyalty is a word that we think of when we think of someone who is true and faithful, someone who is committed to the cause, someone who is going to be dedicated to the purpose of sharing and doing the work of the Lord, someone who is trustworthy. Another synonym would be trustworthy, loyal. And I thought of the song that we sang, the first song. It's on page 312 in your hymn book if you'd like to look at the words. But Frank Garlock wrote this beautiful song, "I Want to Be Faithful. I Want to Be Faithful." Have you told the Lord lately, "Lord, I just want to be faithful. I just want to serve You and do what Your will is. You know, not my will," as Brother Bill again was sharing in Sunday school, "Lord, not my will, but Lord, I want to do what You want me to do. Lay aside some of the good things for that which is better, some of the secular things, some of the things of the world for the things which are spiritual." But Frank Garlock writes, "God gives to all His children talents, both great and small. My gifts belong to Jesus. I'll let Him use them all. When we are serving Jesus, no task can be too small. If we obey the Savior, then we will hear His call. I want to live for Jesus. I want to please God's Son. If He has found me faithful, I'll hear Him say, "Well done." I want to be faithful. I want to be true. I want to be faithful in all that I do. I want to be faithful through every test. I want to be faithful. I'll give Him my best. Boy, would that be our prayer today. Lord, help me to be faithful by being loyal to the sharing of Your word. Let's finish well. Let's be committed. Let's be loyal. Let's be faithful. Let's be dedicated. Let's be trustworthy. That's a concept in today's world that we should remind ourselves of frequently. This should be the subject matter of many sermons and Bible studies, to be loyal and faithful and trustworthy in sharing God's word. And when we find by the conviction of the Holy Spirit that we lack these disciplines in our life, or we have not been, if we have failed to be faithful and loyal, that we would confess it immediately and repent of it. I've, in sharing about, in Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy, we've often referred back to Paul's words to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 4:2, where he says, "Moreover," I love that word, means above all things, more important than anything else, "it is required," not optional, but required in stewards, those who are responsible with the treasure that God has placed within each of us. "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Be found faithful. May we be found faithful. May it be our prayer, "Lord, help me to be faithful in all that I do." Well, Paul was such a man. He was certainly faithful. The Apostle Paul was loyal to his friends, even though in 2 Timothy it's the saddest book in the New Testament, because Paul talks so much about all of his friends who have abandoned him. You know, he says in this passage of Scripture that we read this morning, we won't get to all of this this morning, but in verse 15, he says to Timothy, "You know that all of them which are in Asia have turned away from me." Wow. Paul's in the final hours of his life, the final days of his life. Where's all of his friends? Where's all the people and all the churches that he founded all the way across Asia? "They have all turned away from me." You know, you find out who your friends are when you're going through the deepest trials in life. That's sad to say, but it's so true. That's why we need to be loyal to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Support and encourage and back up and help one another to be faithful, to finish well, encouraging each other in those areas of faithfulness. But Paul was a faithful man, and he encouraged Timothy to follow his example. He encouraged loyalty in this passage of Scripture in two separate areas. First of all, loyalty to God's Word. Hold fast that form of sound doctrine, he says in verse 13, "the doctrine which thou hast heard of me." Sort of like, reminds me of Matthew 28:19-20, where Jesus, getting ready to leave and go back to heaven, tells his disciples, you know, "Go into all the world and teach all things whatsoever I've commanded thee." You know, all the things that you've heard me teach, you pass those on to others. You keep that going. You pass that on to the next generation. And that's what Paul's telling Timothy to do. He says, "The things that you've heard of me, you pass them on." And he says, "Be loyal to the ministry, to the teaching, to the preaching of God's word." And then the second area of loyalty is loyalty to God's servant. Those that you have learned from, those who have discipled you, those who have encouraged you, Those who have built you up in the faith, be loyal to them. Don't turn your back on them. Don't leave them stranded by themselves with no help, like everybody has done to me, Paul said. But you be faithful, and you encourage others to be faithful to those who have encouraged them. Today, we're not going to be able to handle both of those two topics today. Today, we're going to talk about the first one only, being loyal to God's word. And so I'm only in verses 13 and 14 today. Let's reread those verses. Paul says to Timothy, "Hold fast that form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love." That's really important. In faith and love. If we don't believe in faith, if we don't believe that the Word of God is the most important thing anybody's ever going to hear, if we don't believe that the Word of God has life-transforming power in it, if we don't believe that the Word of God is the living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword Word of God, then we might as well pack up and go home. As a Romanian pastor who didn't even have his own Bible, one time when I had the great privilege of distributing Bibles in Romania, I said, sir, would you like to have a Bible? I didn't know he was a pastor at the time. People told me later that he was a pastor of a church, and he walked 20 miles to the nearest village so that he could copy a passage of Scripture from the pulpit copy of their Bible and take it home and study it to prepare the sermon for the next Sunday. Every week he did this. The Bible I was handing him was the first copy of the Word of God that he had ever owned. And I said, "Sir, would you like to have a Bible?" He says, "This is not the Bible. This is the Holy Bible." And he kissed it. This is the Holy Word of God. We need to have faith in it. And we also need to teach it and preach it and pass it on to the next generation in love. In love. Do you love your children? Certainly you do. Do you love your grandchildren? Certainly you do. It's the burden of our hearts that we do not find that when we get to heaven, our children and grandchildren did not make it because they didn't hear the Word of God from us. May God help this generation, the prodigal generation, the generation that has abandoned the faith, the generation that has stopped coming to church. Our heart aches and grieves and is frightened over their children and grandchildren. Because where's the love? The intense love for your children, for your family, for your neighbors. That as Paul said, we are, what's the word I'm looking for? In Corinthians, he says, we're forced, basically. We are, compelled. Thank you. I was looking for the word compelled. He says, we are compelled to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit compels me to preach the gospel. So what is loyalty to God's word? Here he says, hold fast that form of sound doctrine which thou hast heard of me in faith and love. The sound doctrine which is in Christ Jesus, the things that He taught, the things that He shared, the things that He lived. This thou knowest, that good thing, verse 14, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep, guard, protect by the Holy Ghost. We can't do it in our own strength. But the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, will give us the ability to keep, guard, and protect the Word of God, the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. You have been placed into the body of Christ. You've been baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you. Paul says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, whom ye have of God? You're not your own, you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." But let's go back to 2 Timothy. Hold fast, verse 13, that form of sound words. The word hold fast in the Greek is the word echo. Yeah, the same word that we use in the English for echo. In the English, it seems to have, when you first think about the word echo, seems to have a different definition than it has in the Greek. But I'm going to give you first the English definition, then I'm going to give you the Greek definition, and then I'm going to share with you how they match, how they go together. When we think of echo, you know, you're thinking of, you're standing at the base of a majestic grandeur cavern or down in the bottom of a canyon, and you shout, hello, and your voice comes back to you, hello, 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 you know, it multiplies, right? It comes back. It multiplies and it comes back. You got that? That's what echo is in the English. In the Greek, echo means to take possession of something that belongs to someone else and then secure it, guard it, protect it. It's a picture of someone who has given you a large sum of money and they said, I'm going on a journey and I'm going to come back. And I want you to hold on to this for me, and I want you to protect it and guard it. I want you to echo it. and I want you to take care of it. Don't let it get away from you. Don't lose it. And so what do? Are you going to go out and bury it in the ground? You know where I'm going with this, right? No. You're going to take it down to the bank, and you're going to put it in CDs. Or you're gonna open an account, a secure, you know, financially secure account, and you're gonna put that money in there where it can grow and it can gain some interest. Matthew 25, right? Jesus, parable of the talents. He gave one man 5 talents and one man 2 talents and one man 1 talent, and he went on a long journey, and the man came back and he said to the man who had been given 5 talents. Okay, I'd like to have my money back. And he had gained 5 additional talents. Obviously, it wasn't 2022. That would take about 500 years in today's society because he doubled his money just in the short time that his master was away. The man who had been given 2 talents, he now had 4 talents. And he happily gave him 4 talents. And the master said, well done, thou good and faithful servant, to each of these 2. The man who had been given 1, I knew that you were a stern and austere man, so I took your talent and I hid it in the ground. Here's your talent back. He didn't echo it. He didn't cause it to come back to him over and over again. It didn't return with interest. He didn't use what he had been given properly. Are you using what God has given you? In that song, I Want to Be Faithful, Frank Garlock mentions God has given to every single one of us talents, both great and small. What are you doing for Jesus? Are you using those talents? Are you echoing? You're saying, Lord, I just want to use what you gave me. And I want to be able, when I stand before you on Judgment Day, I want to be able to say, Lord, here's the fruit. Here's the people that are here because of the talents you gave me. Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. The possession that we have been given is not only the spiritual talents and gifts, but it is the Word of God. Paul said, hold fast, echo the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. What's he talking about? The Word of God, which is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The incarnation, the birth, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing, dear friend, is more important in this whole world than that message right there. We can preach a lot of things, but if we fail to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, may God have mercy on our soul. If we go back to verse 1 of chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, a messenger who has been ordained by none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself to come and share the word of the gospel by the will of God, according to the promise of eternal life, the promise of an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and doesn't fade away. The message of the gospel. Paul says, I am a messenger of the gospel. And then we go down to verse 11. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher. A preacher, one who shouts out, one who proclaims. Every one of us is a preacher of the gospel. We have mouths. We have voices. We are to proclaim. We are to announce that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came and died for the sins of the world, and life eternal is obtained through believing and trusting in Him, His death, burial, and resurrection. I am a preacher and an apostle, one sent from God with the message, and an apostle and a teacher, one who expounds on the Word of God, one who explains it to the simple. I am a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher. Why is he saying that? He's saying it to Timothy because Timothy is being encouraged to echo the same message that Paul has preached all of his short life. And so it is now Timothy's solemn responsibility to hold fast and to keep, in verse 14, to preserve and guard this message and make sure it's passed on, it's transferred to the next generation with accuracy, that it doesn't get changed and watered down and infiltrated with false teaching and false teachers and doctrine. He says, hold it fast, echo it, preserve it, guard it, the precious deposit of God, of Christian truth, and then pass it along to others. Chapter 2, verse 2, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. What does he say? Hold on to it. Don't let anybody get it away from you. No, he says, that which you have heard of me, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Pass it on. Cause it to multiply. Cause it to echo. Cause it to keep coming back. Over and over and over again, and multiply many times over. Friends, it is our responsibility to pass on the Word of God to the next generation. If I don't get anything else across this morning, I hope you hear that. That's the message. Be loyal to the Word of God. Be loyal to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul encouraged Timothy to hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me. The word form is not as easy, not as simple as echo. The word form is hoot ot oop osis. Does that sound like a work of art? It's because that's exactly what it means. It's a work of art. Or the simple definition in the Greek dictionary is a sketch. It's a simple picture. It's a drawing. It has the idea today of an architect's drawing. He wants to draw this building, and this is just a drawing, but I want the construction people to go out and the engineers and put it all together, and eventually it's going to become a real building. It's going to become a physical building, but right now it's a drawing. It's a sketch. That's what we have. That word, hupot uposis, is the gospel of Jesus Christ in all of its forms, in all of its, with all of its details, with the whole picture in mind. It's the doctrine of the gospel. It's the doctrine of Christology, which Pastor Zach's going to start talking about tonight. But it's not just Christology. It's all the doctrines. So what Paul is saying to Timothy, he says, I want you to hold fast. I want you to echo all the doctrines that have been established by the apostles and prophets in the Word of God. I want you to pass all of that information on. And so we don't come to church to tickle your ears. We don't ask you to come to church to talk about sociology and you know, to talk about what's going on out there in the world and you know, what the next yard sale and bake sale we're going to have to try to help the community a little bit. You know, those things are okay and those things are important. But we ask you to come to church so we can teach you sound doctrine. So that you can echo it. You can tell it to your children and grandchildren and your nieces and nephews and your neighbors. Not just so you can, as Pastor Don used to say, you don't come to church to sit, soak, and sour, but you come to learn to serve the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so he was talking about the doctrine that had already been established as a standard of teaching in the early church. We still today hold fast to that same doctrine 2,000 years ago. Do you know what you believe? As Robert Cook used to always say on his radio program, know what you believe, dear friend, and why you believe it. And he wrote a book on doctrine. If Timothy would have abandoned the form of sound doctrine, then he wouldn't have anything by which to test the false teachers and the false prophets that were trying to infiltrate the church back then and still today. If we don't know what we believe and why we believe it, and somebody comes in and starts teaching something just slightly different, we wouldn't be able to recognize there's something wrong with this teaching. But when we are grounded and rooted in the Word of God, and we hear something that is not the Word of God, something that is contrary to the Word of God, our hearts, the Holy Spirit in our hearts, is going to alert us. Red lights are going to start going off in our minds that this is not right. Timothy was taught by the Apostle Paul that the sound doctrine that he was to use as a test, a guide, to judge the true from the false. The message of the Word of God would have been lost, and people would have nothing by which to hear the truth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Book of Mormon. No, by the Word of God. The Word of God. So I hope you see how critically important it is that you and I at Waynesboro Bible Church stay loyal to that form of sound doctrine and hold fast, echo it in our teaching and preaching. Not like so many churches across America which are abandoning that very thing. Go over to 2 Timothy chapter 4 for a moment. And notice the warning. We said earlier this morning that Paul not only encourages Timothy in this last letter, but he warns him. In verses 3 and 4, he says, and they, well, let me back up to verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch, be on guard, be disciplined in looking for all things that pertain to the truth of the doctrine. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. So the warning is very stern. But the problem we have in today's world is that so many churches and so many individuals who call themselves Christian have so little real knowledge of biblical truth, and so few convictions of biblical standards of living. I'm talking about churches right here in Waynesboro. So few biblical convictions and standards of righteous living. I'm so tired of hearing about, but we have Christian liberty. Everything is lawful for us. We can do whatever we want. Christian liberty never, ever gave anyone a license to sin. It never, ever gave anyone to do anything that takes away from the glory of God.
Amen.
Pastor Don used to say, I've left preaching now and gone to meddling. But that's on my heart today. In the name of love, tolerance, liberty, and peace within the church and within society, almost anything is accepted in today's church. This is Dr. MacArthur. He says, no matter how much it may contradict Scripture, many who call themselves Christians have no significant theological convictions. My question, and I got this from Pastor Herm Fissler many years ago on a trip to Romania. I heard him say something similar to this in a message in a church in Romania. He says, my question for people like that is, if you have such little faith in the Bible that God gave you, do you have the faith necessary to get you to heaven? For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Listen, here's the thing I'm talking about. Successful Christian living is not possible apart from strong biblical convictions. MacArthur, successful Christian living is not possible apart from strong biblical convictions. We need to have convictions on what is right and what is wrong, not based on what everybody else is doing, but based on what would Jesus do? Does it glorify Him? Does it make Him shine? Next, notice that the holding fast of the form of sound doctrine must be done in faith and love. We already touched on that, verse 13. The faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. So it's genuine faith and genuine love. Let me just give you some verse here to think about. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, Paul exhorts us that we be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But, here it is, speaking the truth in love, grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Professor Dwayne Litvin from Dallas Seminary said, to be balanced, a commitment to truth always requires faith and love, virtues which ultimately come only from being in Christ. A person who's sitting in church proclaiming, saying, I'm a Christian, but he doesn't really believe the Word of God, cannot really understand and exercise faith and love. Can't happen. That's like we've said many times, you cannot show agape love to someone if you are not in Christ yourself. Because the only place to get agape love is from Christ. And He doesn't give it to unbelievers. In verse 14, we see that more than faith and love is involved here. Now we bring the Holy Spirit into the picture. Verse 14 says, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep, guard and protect it. We've talked about that word many times. By thee, through the power of the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. And so it was Timothy's responsibility to preserve sound teaching from becoming corrupted through distortion, dilution, deletion, addition, because false teaching was always a constant threat in his society and ours. But Timothy could count on the assistance of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Hence the verse, the memory verse in your bulletin this month, 1 John 3:24. I hope that you'll truly memorize it and not just come every Sunday morning and say it once. Work on this verse. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. In other words, he's saying what Jesus was saying in the Gospel of John. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. If we don't keep his commandments, how can we say that we love God? How do we know that we love God? By his Spirit that lives in us. We need to listen to the voice of the Spirit. Let me give an advertisement. I hope you come Wednesday night to the business meeting. I've got a little video clip that I want to try to show you, if I can get it to work. David Gibbs, an evangelist, started, what was it, the American Law Association? Christian Law Association. He did a little 8-minute clip called Listen to the Voice. I've listened to it probably. Debbie just shared it with me on YouTube, it was on Facebook just the other day, and I've probably listened to it 30 times already. It brings me to tears every time I hear it. Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And every time I listen to this clip, listen to the voice, the Holy Spirit reminds me, you haven't been doing a very good job of listening to the voice. I want to finish well. And I know, dear friends, that's not going to happen for me or anyone else if we don't learn to listen to the voice. So if no other reason, come and listen to that 8-minute clip. Listen to the voice. It's life-changing. Where was I? The Holy Spirit. We must listen to the Holy Spirit. He is our guide. He will guide us into all truth. We must yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit and obey his word. We must be filled, controlled by the Holy Spirit. We must allow him to control our thoughts, our words, and our actions. We must not quench the Holy Spirit, but speak boldly those things which are contained in the form of sound words, which we have heard from faithful men. Warren Wiersbe says, from the beginning of human history, Satan has opposed God's word. Yea, hath God said, was Satan's first word to mankind, Genesis 3:1. And he continues to ask that same question. Throughout the history of the church, the word of God has been attacked, often by people within the church. Yet it still stands today. Why? Because God has preserved his word partly by dedicated men and women who have, like Paul and Timothy, guarded the deposit and faithfully handed it down to the next generation of Christians. When a church or any other Christian organization goes liberal, it usually starts with a weakening of their leaders' convictions about the word of God. In closing, have you trusted in the Word of God? Have you believed the message of salvation Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Why? Because Jesus died for our sins. My sins, your sins, the sins of the whole world. We can't go to heaven as sinners. We've got a terrible sin problem. Jesus came to take care of that problem. He came to die and pay the penalty, which is death, the death on the cross, and the shed blood of Jesus Christ, which redeemed us, bought us out of the slavery of sin, paid for that sin problem, satisfied the righteous demands of a holy God, Father, and through believing on Him, trusting in Him, accepting the gift of salvation through Him, we can be saved. But you can't go to heaven as a sinner. You need to be saved. Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and to give you the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord? Do you really believe that He died for you? There's a lot of people in the world that believe that He was a good man. Some believe He was the Son of God. Some believe that He died on the cross. But they don't go as far as believing that Jesus Christ, His death was significant for us today. That it was a necessary sacrifice for you and I. That we need to believe what He did in order to be saved. Do you believe it? Believing is everything. John 5:24, He that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life, and is not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Is today the day you need to invite Jesus Christ to come into your life, to forgive you of your sins, to become your Lord and Savior? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. Thank You, Lord, for giving us the Word of God in its preserved and protected form. The sketch that we have, we look at, the blueprint that we follow is the Bible. The Bible is the proven document of God given to man, the document that You gave to man, Your Word, the inspired Word of God, preserved down through the ages, accurately, so that we could hear and by hearing come to the point of faith where we believe the message of salvation in Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to never water it down. Help us to never become lax on our convictions of what is right and wrong, what is pure and holy and honoring to God. But let us hold to the true convictions found in the Word of God. We want to glorify You. As Jesus said, let Your light so shine before men that they might see Your good works and glorify Your Father which is in heaven. Lord, please help us, every one of us, help us to finish well. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.